Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, July the 21st, 2013.
But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, where he loved us. Oh, how he loves you and me.
Oh, how he loves you and me.
Jim, we'll ask the men to come at this time. We thank the Lord for the opportunity we have to give. Well, Tip, will you pray for us, please?
Father, thank you for the time tonight. Thank you, Father, for the vision and what it represents.
We're going to start with Don and his report, and Don's got a timer and everything, so this is highly organized, and I asked him if he needed me to keep the timer, and he did not feel that was impressive, but we're going to do that, and then we're going to do the bread, and then we'll have the hungry report, and then we'll do the cup, okay?
Thank you, Pastor. I just wanted to get up here while we have the lights on and just thank the church for contributing. I think Grace Baptist had the most unique offering. And do you remember the Easter egg offering? The little kids came out, you put money in the Easter eggs for Bibles. I've never seen anything like that. So kudos to the creative people on that one. And I wanted to show this Bible. This is a $2 Bible. It's a high humidity resistant. It was actually built on an old communist press that's been recycled to do Christian work now. So, praise the Lord for that. Brant, same place where Brant's getting his thing. So, but on the inside is a clear gospel presentation. Cartoons were done by Tim Meyer's daughter, and Tim Meyer wrote the plan of salvation. And every school we go to, we tell them to make sure if you do anything, read the first three pages. So these are wonderful. A quarter of a million of these things were delivered in Fiji. So now I'm going to get going here. There's our Fiji Islands. It's 332 islands in Fiji. This is not Fiji, and it's not the wrong picture, but a month before I went to Fiji, I was in Greenland, and it was minus 15 degrees below zero. So then I went to Fiji, and it was wintertime. So that was a big transition in my life. Wonderful sunrise, sunset. You have to dress appropriately. It was 72 degrees, and they were getting themselves dressed up for the winter. So last year, just to make it real short, the government allowed us to pass out Bibles to all high schools and elementary schools in the country of Fiji. So I went and shot a documentary. And we sent out over 2,000 DVDs all over the place to tell this story. And the one thing that just struck me was a verse that Dr. Falwell wrote in my Bible the first week I was at Liberty. And it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth." And I truly saw the power of God in action on this trip. Like I said, Brother Alan Brooks, he's kind of the project manager for this. Even though we have all of our paperwork, we always go to the high school administrator and we sit down and say, okay, here's what we're going to do. And so they'll make some time for us to do a service. I apologize to Alan, but this was just a great picture of him. He's not here to defend himself, but I want to say we have so much fun because we get up and we sing a song. And first of all, the national hymn of the national anthem of Fiji is sung to the verse of Beulah Land. And the first time I heard that, it was just too much for me. And so the whole country is based on a very strong Old English Christian belief. It's 60% Methodist. So we'd get up there and we'll sing a song, and a lot of the people would be high schoolers singing along right with us, and that's kind of unnatural these days, even in our country. So we go out, we give a clear gospel presentation. There's a lot of ethnic schools, and the way that the ethnic schools are, they get grants from the government for their teachers, but depending on what religious sect the building is, this is a Sikh building. And those that are non-Christians are not required to go to these services, but a lot of them do come. But this is Steve Cook. He's our missionary going to Fiji, starting his first term next month. And he's given a clear gospel presentation, and there's no holds barred. So the people, the high schoolers, they listen intently. Then we start giving out the Bibles, and it's just the shirts. Everybody wears the Beulah red shirt. And that's kind of our trademark. And everywhere I traveled, I'd have my red shirt on, and people would enter. They would stop me and say, "Oh, you're the guys handing out the Bibles." And I said, "Yes, I am." So we're handing out the Bibles, and it's like the service is 15 or 20 minutes long, and then you're handing out Bibles. The teachers are, we give them a Bible too, and they're all excited. No matter the religious affiliation, they're glad to get a Bible. And this was the first school. These people, they were so excited because we said, "You're the first of 850 high schools." This is high schools now. We hadn't even got to the elementary schools. That's coming up in October. And they were so excited about getting the first Bibles out. And I got thousands of pictures like this. So I'm kind of on sensory overload. Now this was. Primarily a Hindu region, and this was a Hindu school, and they we started out our service, and right in the middle of our service, Brother Alan was preaching, and it started raining, and all of a sudden, and of course we're praying for Alan, and all of a sudden he got up, he said, "Okay, everybody, we're going to stop, and we're going to pray of God of creation to stop the rain." Because the administrators, they were getting nervous that we were going to have to cancel this. And then I'm thinking, okay, you're in a Hindu school challenging God, putting God to the test. But I know very well God could do it, because not only did the rain stop, it wasn't like it stopped trickling. In 10 seconds, it stopped dead cold. We got to give out the Bibles. And this was a tremendous testimony to this Hindu school, or this Hindi school. And that's Joshua. It's one of the missionary kids. Everybody likes the blonde kid. That's Mickey Scrimshire. Some of the older temple students do not like Mickey Scrimshire. So, in fact, several of you chimed in on my Facebook about Mickey, but he was a great person out there, knows how to do tricks, gospel magic, and stories, and he was wonderful to have. So after we left the Hindi school, the guys were going to go fishing on Saturday. Saturdays are typically our off days because there's no schools. And so we turned around, we went back through past the school, went back deep in the village, and as we came back, this brother and sister came running out of their house, and they were so excited. They were so excited, and they wanted us to sign their Bible, and I'm just thinking, nobody's ever asked that. And so I asked the girl, and I said, and she has that real nice kind of an Indian tone, very courteous. I said, what do you think? Oh, she thought getting the Bible was great. And I said, well, what about the rain stopping? Oh, the God, your God, the Christian God, has big ears because he heard your prayers. And I didn't know what to think. And going back to the rain story, and I'm not exaggerating, folks, the last person I saw that didn't have a Bible was a Muslim guy, and I said, do you want a Bible? The rain still hadn't come down. I'm not kidding. As soon as I gave the Bible to him, shook his hand, rain come pouring down. And that had a tremendous testimony to those people at that school. This is a Gideon Bible. I took a picture of this Gideon Bible because there's three people sharing it. Bibles are very, very scarce there. And anywhere where I go, a little Bible like that, for you Gideons, they get used well. So this is not me with a haircut. This is one of my other missionaries. This is Brother Case. We had BIMI missionaries, independent missionaries, and a whole variety of folks that were helping us. This was the first elementary school that we promised we would go to. And as soon as they would get their Bibles, they would read that story on pages 1, 2, and 3. And they're the ones that sung Beulah Land National Anthem to me, and it was unbelievable. And then I said, "You want to?" And I got scores of pictures, and I got video that I got these Bibles waving in the sky and all sorts of stuff. So it was very, very exciting. Anywhere we had a missionary was of like faith, we asked for help. This is Paul Deku Jr. and his family, and J.B. Godfrey in the background. And what we do is we calculate how many Bibles they're going to need, and everything's by how many boxes. There's 40 in a box, so if you had 100 students, then it's so many boxes. So that's how we figure everything out. So it's 2.5. The pastor said 2.5. Very good. So anyway, so what we do is we put the school's name or the church's name in there. And some people use a stamp. These guys wanted to be special, so they had little glue sticks. And so we would go to the school and have lay the Bibles out. Whenever we can, we use the missionary or the pastor of the local area. And then they give, an unbiased, unfluff presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. And so there's nothing, no matter what school, if it's a Muslim school, Hindi school, Christian school, Catholic school, we tell it like it is. This lady was so excited. She says, she came up to me, and these people are so sincere and genuine. She says, today's my birthday, and this is probably the best birthday present I've ever gotten. And that was her own Bible. That's a $2 Bible, folks. And, it tears me up. Now, for some reason, I'm having to joggle between video and still. I wish I could have got this guy on video, but the picture says it all. He stands up, he's sitting there in his office. I don't know what he believes, but he's sitting there, and he says, this is the future of Fiji. He says, they believe in Christian principles that the Bible has, whether it's Proverbs or whatever. There are principles that you can glean, and it's wonderful reading material for them, and this is his school. The guy in the middle with the white slacks, he is a devout Hindi guy, and he was giving us so much resistance. I had to tell him we needed really a poster picture of what this whole thing was all about. And as many times as I asked them hold up the Bibles, he wouldn't hold up his Bible because he was embarrassed. And I said, well, this picture is going to go to the Ministry of Education and to the Prime Minister himself. And as soon as I said that, his Bible popped up and I got the picture. there's supposed to be a fourth girl here, but I wanted to show you this because these are kind of like my poster kids. And when I visited this school, unscripted, I asked one of the girls to ask what it would mean to get her own Bible, and she said the perfect thing. If you've seen the video, you know what I'm talking about. She's done graduated. One of her sister is one of those girls, and I gave her a Bible, and she's going to get it. And again, everybody, I asked them to hold up the Bible, and I've got some wonderful video here of these black Bibles with the gold letters and the gold leaves shining in the sky. And Brother Brooks had it designed that way because ethnic groups like that gold inlay stuff. So here we're on our way to a Muslim school. This is about all the pictures I can get from here because these guys were really did not want us to take any photos at all. So, but we would go in, we would start handing them out. Then the Muslims, they wanted to get a Bible, so it kind of goes into kind of a riot after a while. But anyway, this was one of the largest schools in the Nasori district. You pack up your chair, you come to assembly, and you just stack up. And this is a small school, by the way. This is only 800 students. Some of these schools are in the range of 2,000. In fact, on the biggest day that we ever did this, we handed out 3,800 Bibles in a matter of 4 hours in three different schools. But they're so proud to get their Bible, no matter what they believe. And and the Muslim kids, they listen intently. Some refuse, some won't take one. Some will ask for them. And so I went to. So if they ask for one, we give them a Bible, and we're glad to give them a Bible. And there again, I've got hundreds of pictures like this. Every school we go to, we try to get a group shot. And they're proud to get their Bibles. And, you know, I kind of say, okay, I need everybody to line up. And they're very obedient. Everybody's quiet because, unlike myself, when they talk in Fiji, they talk very, very soft and very, very low so that they listen. And then when I get up there and start giving instructions, they're about ready to scram. So, because I have that master sergeant tendency to do crowd control. So when the Bibles are there, students are looking at them, and they are asking questions, and we give it to them. This is a Christian school. Even at a Christian school, they have a shortage of Bibles, and we give them one. This was the first Christian school we gave Bibles out, and they were also the first church to give $9,000 toward the project because they wanted to be a testimony that Fijians were behind this. And then I'm going to kind of wind it up here at the big Muslim school. Of course, we try to befriend the administration. That's the principal and the vice principal. And this probably is the one group of pictures that really gets to me. And the Christian girls have that white kind of like a V-neck. That's to show that they're Christians. The Muslim girls wear the traditional hijab so that they stand out. The Christian men wear the sulus, which is like a kilt or a skirt. And the Muslim boys wear trousers, so you can kind of identify who's who. So there's a couple hundred Christians there, and that was the only Muslim girl standing there listening to us. And so as we were giving the Bibles out, she walked up to me, and it's very unusual for a Muslim woman or teenager to kind of get close into a male's face, and a very quiet voice, she said, "Can a Muslim girl have a Bible?" And I said, "Absolutely, and please go tell your friends," because it was a volunteer presentation, and I'll never forget the look on that teenager's face that a Muslim could get a Bible. The Quran says that you should read the holy book. There's 32 references to the Bible in the Quran. So then the boys, they come around, and I said, "Go tell all your friends right now." And so they jump, and they run, and they go get them, their friends, and they're coming out. Then the imam for the school came out, and he wanted to know what we were doing, so we started having a big discussion, and it was very, very civil, I might add. In fact, we have the doors open. It's not confirmed yet for Alan to go to the Muslim League, so we could present to them what we're doing. And so these girls and the kids, these faces are just unbelievable, and I just am on overload. Meantime, Alan's talking to the imam about Bible, and back and forth. Again, it was a very cordial and a civilized conversation. And so I got to give up one time. It was the last school, and so I gave up my testimony. And this whole project meant a lot to me because I was saved in a high school with a chick track, and I wonder about these students here. And I think about events in the world, like the tsunami and some of these other things. But these kids are going to remember the day that some people in a crazy-looking red shirt came to all these schools, gave them the Word of God. Eventually, they're going to grow up, and be leaders of the country, and they're going to remember that black Bible with the gold lettering on it. And I've, like I said, I have numerous amounts of pictures here. I had Kevin blow this up here, but look at that girl right there. Look at that expression. She just cannot wait to get her Bible. And this was like schools all over the country, leaders, this was ROTC, their future military leaders. And on the bus to the plane, the lady saw me working with my pictures, and she says, "Oh, you were at my school. I wasn't there, but I got my Bible, and I just had to ask her." I said, "Are they reading them?" And they said, "Oh, absolutely. When I came in, everybody's written there reading. They have a 15-minute devotion time, and back in the islands of Fiji." And real quick here, the changing of the guards. I wanted to give a guy a Bible, and I asked him if he had any soldier friends up there. He says, "Yeah, there's a few up at the barracks." And so I went to, I got lost, ended up going there. And then about the time I got there, everybody started standing to attention, and I started to say thank you. But actually, it was their commander coming down in his personal car. So I told him who I was and told him what I was doing. And you remember that Muslim school that was resistant? I had 400 Bibles that we couldn't use. And I asked him, I said, "Sir, do you think you could use some Bibles?" And he says, "I think it's great because next week, 400 of my men are going to be deploying to the Golan Heights, and I know they would love a Bible." So it's still, the Bible still got in there in the Muslim country. That's it, Pastor.
How did you do?
I don't know.
Oh, overtime. Overtime, eh? Well, Don, just one word of question now. You said 250,000 Bibles got shipped there. How many are yet to be passed out?
They're still working like crazy. This is going to be ongoing. I forgot to mention it's an ongoing project for the next couple months. In October, there's a chance that I'll be going back to pick up slack on the elementary schools. 99% of the money's been raised. We still have a little bit of loose ends to take care of financially, and some people have asked if you could still contribute. Yes, we're still taking contributions.
Okay, good, right. Good. Well, it's good to know that.
Thank you,
Don. That was excellent. Well, we're going to move into the Lord's table, and let me just say this is the Lord's table. It's not the table of Grace Baptist Church, and whether you're a member here or not, if you know the Lord as your personal Savior, we encourage you to participate in this, His table. And so the Scripture begins and tells us very clearly that it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks..." Aaron, will you give thanks for the bread, please?
Father, we thank you for your sacrifice so that we could have salvation. Help us as we take this bread now, just to remember all that you've done for us in death and in life. This presentation has been your prayer.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So we're remembering the Lord, who He is. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, God, very God. And with the cup, we remember what He did, and that is that He made a sacrifice for your sins and for mine. Well, we're going to have a little bit of shifting gears, and so we're going to ask the Hungry Team to come in to share, and we're looking forward to that as well.
I do not have a timer. excuse me. My title for this Hungry Trip is Over and Above, that God is able to do over and above all that I could ever think or ask, and I'm so grateful. It was my pleasure to go to Esztergom, Hungary, which is about an hour and a half away from Budapest, where a lot of our missionaries are, but we were with Mark and Karen Patton and their family at the church that they planted there, and they're wonderful missionaries, and you all will get to meet them, or at least Mark, at our missions conference. I got to serve. I was asked to go by these wonderful people over here. Megan McQueen, Leslie Torner, John Brand, Alex Carter, and then we've added new wonderful servants of God to the team, Marie Beattie and Matt Lane. They were great to have with us. We also had old friends of the missionaries, Mark and Karen, were Edward Hayes and his daughter, Olivia. They were on our team, and we had an English camp there for a week, 5 days. I want to say a huge thank you to Megan McQueen for leading the Grace Group. Think herding cats. It was wild. So, and thanks to this young crowd over here, these wonderful kids, I call them children, sorry, they're the age of my children, for taking care of me and putting up with their old Anya. See, I have my name tag. It means mommy in Hungarian. They dragged me through airports, they up escalators, kept me from falling off of castle walls, and through subways. It was great. They brought me back to Paul, and that was all that he asked them to do. So God went before us in every way. Each day we started at 8:30 in the morning with prayer time, and then 9 to noon we had English lessons, Bible stories, crafts, and games with the children from ages pre-K to high school. And then at noon we had a great Hungarian lunch prepared by and cleaned up by the great ladies in the church. They were so sweet to feed us, lots of us, every day. At 2 o'clock, Edward Hayes and his daughter and our Grace boys went to a small town called Nagshap and had a vacation Bible school and an upward basketball camp. During that time, the English teachers, us girls, could take a nap or prepare for our class, so we were very thankful for that. Then from 5 to 8 p.m., the Grace girls and Grandma led the intermediate and the advanced English classes for the adults. And then it was followed by another light meal made by the church members. We made lots of trips in a packed van to Tesco, which is the Walmart of Europe. And we bought supplies, energy drinks, lots of caffeine, and chocolate. And we had lots of ice cream runs. Edward is great at spotting every ice cream place in Hungary. He's like, oh, there's another one. So we were eating ice cream all day long. It was pitiful. So. And then we had 10 p.m. devotions in our comfy little guest house that was just one block away from the church. We made lots of friends with wonderful, wonderful Hungarian people. They're so loving. And then on the last Sunday evening at the camp finale program, the little kids all said Bible verses and sang fun songs. And then the teenagers sang Christian songs in English, and they did it so well. I didn't know the songs, but I could understand every word. It was amazing. And over 200 family members attended the program. Mark and Karen said that was the largest group they've had in their church. The Pattons were very happy with the lessons we had prepared and how smoothly the whole week went, and that is all to the glory of God. The students gave us gifts and hugs that night, and one student, a 20-year-old boy who had invited Leslie and me to coffee on Friday, came and brought us a little gift, and he got in my face and he said, I had just prayed the day before for him and his girlfriend, and I said, Lord, they need the hope of Jesus. And he got in my face that night and he said, I just want to thank you for the hope that you've given me. And I was like, whoa, that's amazing. So personally, this was a huge step of faith for me. I was way out of my comfort zone. I have never been to camp before in my life. I'm not a rah-rah camp person. I don't know. Many of you all know how very afraid I was. I was petrified. And I am really sad to say that I doubted God. I mean, I'm old enough that I should know that God is able to do more than I can think or imagine, but I was scared. And God took care of every fear that I had. He gave me daily reminders of how much he loved me. And just for an example of how fun God is, I've been riding horses for a year and a half now, taking lessons. And on the way over to Hungary, I said, Lord, it would be so fun if I could see a horse in Hungary. And not only did I get to see a horse, we come out of the castle and John Brand says, Alicia, they've got horse rides over here. So I was like, oh, that'll be expensive. He says, no, it's $1.50. I was like, deal. So I got to ride a horse in Hungary. Everywhere I turned, there were statues of horses. There's a, exhibition about horses. There's a horse on the street that I can pet. I was like, God, you just did this just for me. It was so much fun. But I had a great time. And it just is, I want to tell you how very kind our Father is and how great he is to us. And I appreciate your supporting us and letting us go. And many of you would love to come, I'm sure. There's much to be done. We have more.
All right. We were very grateful for Alicia to come. She helped keep me and John Brandon in line most of the time. And we were just very thankful, especially the people that were able to go back again for the second year. We were just very thankful to get back and to build up some of those relationships a little bit better that we had made the previous year. We had English camp in the morning, like she said, and all of us did that. And then at night we'd divide. Half of us would do English camp and half of us would go to Nod Shop and do a Bible camp. That's my favorite part of it, the Bible camp. We had game time, craft time, story time, and like a snack time. You might have seen the picture of me with the cotton balls over my face, and that was pretty much the extent of craft time every year, every day. Put glitter on me. We came up with a whole bunch of games to play in the little courtyard. There might have been some pictures of us playing like Red Rover and stuff. And we couldn't understand what the kids were saying to us, but it was more just about building relationships with them and getting them to come back to the church. And it was just a lot of fun, and I was just very grateful to have the opportunity to meet some of the same kids from last year and just really, I can't really talk to them, but just to fellowship with them. Edward, we each had a story that we did. We had Ruth, David and Goliath, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Esther, and then the last day we did Jesus. And the theme was like superheroes of the faith. So we each did a story all 5 days of the week. And then on Friday, Edward presented the message on Jesus and like gave a short gospel message. And it was really good. We also invited the whole family and like all the kids back on Sunday. And he did, he summarized everything that we talked about in the week for the family, for the parents, and gave another gospel message. And the church that we worked in is small, very small, and there's probably maybe room for like 20 or 30 people, but it was completely packed, and we had all the kids came back, and most of the parents came, and it was just really a blessing to see, because during the week, when we're not, I guess they just really like Americans, because when we came back, and all the kids and the parents were there. After the Bible camp, we had a basketball camp every night, which was new. We didn't do that last year. Edward led that. And most of them haven't played basketball before. So it was kind of a challenge to come up with things for them to do. But they really enjoyed it. They just run around dribbling circles or shoot. They love playing knockout. They play knockout for hours if we let them. At the end of every basketball, we would do like a short upward devotional. There was like each of the 5 days they had a different topic. And on the last day, the pastor, Gregor, the pastor of the church out there, gave a short gospel message. He gave it in Hungarian, but we listened to it. We had a translator. And it was great. And we heard later that three of the kids got saved from that, which was really, really exciting for us. It was just incredible how God worked. We were looking forward to maybe going back next year if we get the opportunity to. And I think that's about it for me. John Brandon. Well, okay, one more thing. We met. Come on. We met a couple of the kids in ESO, and we were able to kind of build a strong relationship with them. And it was great to see that.
Yeah, I was going to just expand a little bit on that, because during this week, I know I personally had three kids that I was able to build a personal relationship. And because during the week, Alex and my class, we kind of broke down some of the Chronicles of Narnia books and kind of used the fictional story to present the gospel at the end of the week. And by the end of the week, it was two kids. One was Christoph and the other one was Cornell. And they were asking me questions like, Is this story true? I mean, what exactly goes on? And it just gave me opportunity to talk to him. And another one of them was Matt. And I've known Matt since last year, and I've been Skyping him and Facebooking him. And he kind of has, you know, that teenager worldview of, you know, what can I do for me? And he broke down to me this week and pretty much just said he's wanting to change his life around, and because he saw the example that the three of us showed when we were just going around doing touristy things, and I gave him a Bible, and he started reading it, and he's back in church, and he wants to help out with the teenagers to help them from making the same mistakes that he did. And sorry if I'm choking up a little bit, because Matt has a special place in my heart, because he's like a little brother to me, and get to see the man he's turning into just over this past year, and hopefully we might be able to get them into the States and get them to school out here is what our goal is. But yeah, just those personal relationships, just keep praying that we can keep building on those, and because there's a lot of great work being done in Hungary. Thanks.
Well, this is our team, and we all just wanted to come up here and corporately say thank you for your support and your prayers as we were gone. It meant so much to see Facebook posts and comments as we were there, just to know that you all were supporting us. I had a chance to talk to Karin pretty much every night about lesson plans and what we needed to do for the next day. And on Friday, we sat down at lunch, and she was telling me, you know, what she viewed as success for this week of English. And it was really cool because she said when they first started about 9 years ago with these camps, she saw success as her kids knowing a verse in English and learning something new every day. But over time, God had changed her heart to success was planting seeds. And I can say that this trip was very successful. Every day we planted seeds and presented the gospel and showed Christ's love to these kids. And it was just really exciting to be a part of that and to see what the Pattons have been doing. So, again, thank you so much.
Okay. Wow. Is that good? And the Pattons are going to be with us for a missions conference this year. That was the churches that Brant and I went to back in October at that teacher's conference that we were at and spoke at. And what was quite interesting in that situation, as those guys were doing this basketball camp, and they were talking about this small church, and I remember going in there and seeing this one room that they'd been working on and everything, and as you begin to hear the history of the building, it had been a synagogue, and in World War II, you know, Hungary was one of the places where a lot of Jews were just completely obliterated off the face of the earth, and so this building has been reconstituted and is being used to develop a gospel church in that area. And so as you go around those areas and you're looking at villages and things like that, you see, you know, you go to village after village after village where there's no gospel witness of any kind. You know, sometimes we say, okay, well, it's a good church, a bad church. There are no churches to speak of. There are some government-type churches. There some state-type churches, that kind of thing. But for the most part, the opportunity for a good gospel presentation is very limited. And so that's kind of neat. And I think that we're we have the chance to develop a real good partnership with the Pattons and the things that are there. And of course, that report that Don gave us, I mean, that's pretty good stuff when you begin to think about it. You know, when you begin to realize that those are Bibles, and when those go into all kinds of homes, no one can know the final and total impact except God. And so as people read and are in the Scriptures, God can do work, you know, when there's not a missionary around, there's not a gospel witness around as much. And so that's a pretty neat deal, and we're kind of excited about that. And one of these days, we'll have to get Brant to talk to us a little bit about some of the Bibles that are going into Iran and places like that, and some of the things that God's doing in these other areas and all. There is a great awakening for the gospel in the Muslim world. There are lots and lots and lots of people that are being added to the church. And, you know, it's quite interesting. When Mary and I had the chance last April to go into Beijing, it broadens your perspective, the realization that the gospel is not bound. And it's God's doing stuff all over the world. And so, you know, the real key is we need to be asking the question, Lord, what are you doing, and how can we go and get involved with you in what you're doing? That's the thing. And so as you think about what Danae's going to have an opportunity to do, and what you think about what Diane is having an opportunity to do, and then you begin to think of Elise going down to UTC, I'm telling you, that's a great mission field. And then you think about some of these other trips that we're taking. You know, it's exciting to see those things. Well, the Bible says that after the bread, he took the cup. And so let's ask the blessing on the cup. Richard, Patrick, would you pray for the cup, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the blood that washed away our sins and made us your children. I pray as we think about it that we will be with grateful hearts for all you have done, and may we commit ourselves to full service for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. One of the great opportunities we have every Lord's table is to give a benevolence offering, and we use those offerings in a variety of different areas. We're able to help some folks and some special needs, and honestly, it's always quite interesting to those of us in the office, all the people that come by, and we keep records about who's come by and who's done what and everything, but I think that to a lot of street people, we have a reputation of being a church that tries to help. And that's what we do with these benevolence offerings. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us to give and give generously, and that you'll continue to allow us to help people, Father, and to spread your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I was pretty firmly rebuked because they said that I did not do justice to Diana and her fiancé. So come on down, and I want to give you a special opportunity to introduce him and maybe just a word of testimony, and you could sing and we'll take an offering. So you thought you escaped, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, see? See, and so there's the microphone, and so yes.
The song? Are you singing with me?
Well, no.
No, this is Jen C. We met in the Dominican Republic 2 years ago. I was an intern down there with Daystar, and he was just someone that I worked with every day. We were really good friends, and we stayed good friends. I didn't know. He told me after, he's like, I didn't want to influence your decision because he wanted me to do what God wanted me to do. But as soon as he found out that I had decided I was coming down there, he was really quick to... and surprised me and asked me to a special dinner and told me that he had feelings for me. So we started dating when a little bit after I got down there, officially. And then, yeah, we got engaged yesterday. He took me to Point Park, top of Lookout Mountain. I guess he'd been. My mom and my sister helped him because I guess he doesn't really know where things are around here. But, yep. Do you want to say something?
Me in Spanish?
No, you can do English. You have really good English as
well. Well, it's my first time here in the United States, and it's really different for me, but I want to appreciate so much Dave and his family. They helped me a lot. They were so, so caring for me. They had so, so love, and Diana helped me a lot. We work together in Dominican Republic. She is a nurse, but she'll help me with the youth group. I'm a leader in Dominican Republic with the teenager, and she helped me a lot in Dominica, and she helped me to in English also. So sorry if you can't understand my bad English, but I'm trying to learn it more.
English is fine. You're doing a super job, and you just pay attention to your teacher and do everything she tells you. Well, this is great, and Diana, we're excited about what God's doing down there, and I know that we're contemplating some kind of a construction project to kind of get involved with that, so we really look forward to that. Well, listen, it's been a great day. Good opportunity. A lot of interesting things that, that we're exposed to. And the key is, as we see and hear these things, we have to sit down, we have to think, we have to pray, and we have to respond along the way. So we know there's some needs, and God is stirring our hearts to give towards some of these things. Lord bless you. You have a great evening. And let me just say that Mary and I are going to be probably in Brooklyn Tabernacle maybe next Sunday, and so it's going to be a big hike. And so Dave Carney's going to be here. And this will be the first time that Dave's been back to speak since he buried his son. So you'll have to hug on him and encourage him and everything, he and Diane. Lord bless you. Have a great evening.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.